You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
...7:07 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher DeSimone, ESQ. This is an all-ages radio show. Most of the time. After talking to Matt yesterday about Friar Tuck, I went home and watched Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn, Claude Rains.
Who played Friar Tuck in that one?
That's a great one.
That's, isn't it, what was his name?
Oh, look at you.
I drew a blank.
Adventures of Robin Hood.
Yes.
1938. Still holds up very well.
Isn't it, you wanted to throw in Ward Bond, but it's not.
this is one
flick Ward. I know it's not Dom DeLuise, but I just wanted to say it.
No, thank you.
Eugene Paulette.
He was good.
Was Friar Tuck.
He was good.
So, and of course, Basil Rathbone as Guy of Gisborne. Ian Hunter as the
I think Basil Rathbone was what an actor of his time, man. Obviously the Sherlock Holmes, but he was so good in Robin Hood too.
And I love, you know, listening to the Basil Rathbone O-time radio of the Sherlock Holmes. Yep. And it's him and the other Nigel
Bruce.
Yep. And doing the radio thing. It's also very
isn't
good.
It mad? It just rolls off the tongue. I can get that stuff right off, but ask me what I had for dinner 3 nights ago and I have no idea.
Correct. So let's start. Matt, it's really interesting that Matt started talking about he was pissed off about the hipsters robbing the word tamales and tamal and all this other stuff, right? So a tamal is one. Multiple tamals are tamales. And I make the mistake of saying tamale. That's not a word.
It's not a word? It's tamal?
Yeah. Hmm. So, Tia Gloria, give us a call up if you want to join in the conversation.
Well, she might call here because we got a couple movies I think she might.
Tell that to tamale pie.
Well, I'm just
tamale pie.
Thank you. So I want to give you a little history. It was first made by the Olmecs, an ancient civilization that lived in present-day Mexico. Tamales were mentioned in a cookbook written in 1519 and have been a staple of Mexican cuisine ever since. Hmm. If you have a favorite way of making tamales or what you like in your tamales, I'm really getting nervous now of saying it wrong, give us a call, 790-2040. It's derived from the Nahuatl language spoken by the Aztecs and is known as tamale with two I's at the end. Wrapping food is what the word refers to. Some of the things I'm looking at, was it Maya or Aztec? It could be both. Of course, it's the idea that it was supposed to be wrapped for travel.
Sure.
Right? Or they also talk about being wrapped for war. Right? When traveling, hunting, or times of war, the tradition of eating tamales grew in popularity. So the dish was popular this is some history. This lady's going back to 7,000 BC.
Wow.
We'll see. So maybe a velociraptor had tamale, sorry. The Mayans adapted traditional recipes to meet the needs of their culture cuisine, as demonstrated by the use of tamales. Masa harina is a corn flour indigenous to Central America, ground into a dough that's wrapped in corn husk or banana leaf or steamed, then stuffed with the dough, filled with chicken, pork, vegetables, and or cheese. A steamed tamale is then served to diners. So my thing is, as a rookie when I first came to Tucson,
right,
I made the mistake of just biting into a tamale like an idiot.
Me too.
And there was an olive in it with a pit.
With a pit. And those are the more traditional ones, right?
I guess.
They're supposed to be with a pit.
Right. And so.
Yeah. I did the same thing.
So
I didn't crack a tooth, though.
I didn't either, thank God. But I like the olive in it.
I'm
okay
too.
With that. I just don't want to mess with the pit.
Yeah, so, the lady who used to make them for me when I first came here indoctrinated me to them, and she made both beef and chicken for me, and she made them with the pits at first. And I said, hey, if you're going to make them for me again, can you make them without the pits? And she does. So She was fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, I loved them. You know.
And to me, I can have, I like a variety of fillings in it, you know, whether it's the
have
red.
Have you had the sweet ones?
Sure.
Yeah.
The sweet one makes sense for me. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, Carlotta makes those pumpkin tamales.
Yeah.
That are really good, and she puts the little buñuelo strips on it and the whipped cream. It's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Okay.
I think also the one of my favorite tamale stories, our friend TJ Morgan from Grayline.
Sure.
He used to go to these meetings with American Bus Association or Grayline International.
Right.
And he would always give out stuff that was kind of from...
Unique to here.
Right.
Right.
Because they also have an office in Nogales, right?
Right.
And so they used to give out these amazing tortillas that were made in Nogales, Mexico. And they were really the ones that were kind of that stone ground wheat.
Right.
And, but they were really thin.
Ah.
Right? On the thin part, right? So you could, they're almost translucent.
Sure.
Which are great.
Yeah.
Okay. So he'd hand out that, but sometimes he would hand out half dozen tamales.
Right.
Right? He'd bring them in a frozen and bring them or get them shipped, and he would hand it out to fellow board members. And I'll never forget, he's like, I was talking to him during the holidays, and he goes, dude, I just got this call from whatever, from wherever, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I gave him those tamales, and he called me and said, man, those tamales were great. He goes, I didn't expect them to be so crunchy.
Oh my God. They ate the corn husks too?
They ate the corn husks. And you want a colon blow experience, as we say in Saturday Night Live?
Well,
eat tamale,
my grandfather got off to, he emigrated here from Lithuania, and when he got off at Ellis Island, right, so he sees a fruit stand and had never seen fruit. I mean, all they knew was cabbages and sauerkraut and stuff like that. So basically he sees this banana and he goes, whoa, I got it. So he holds out the coins to the guy. He takes whatever it cost. And then he sits on the park bench. And my grandfather never wasted anything, but he had never seen a banana in his whole life. So he just started eating the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the guy's laughing at him and whatever. And
that's, I that's like something out of a movie.
I can only picture that. You know, it's just like, wow. Can you imagine never seeing one of those for the first time? And then he can go ahead and just tearing it up. So,
and it's such a loving thing for families, because it brings people together.
Sure.
You need the production line, these things, if you're going to make them en masse.
Yeah.
And everyone's got their traditional recipes, which I love.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I learned, as part of my Best of the Barrio tour years ago, Carlotta would have us, we'd go to Carlotta's Kitchen.
Right.
Which is her commissary that's over by Barrio Brew in that mm-hmm. area over there. And Lenny, the manager, he's a great guy. Lenny's a wakey. I love Lenny. And so part of the tour was you got to make tamales with the nanas sitting in the refrigerated room doing it up. And, you know, you have to learn. I was always the guy. Everyone always puts way too much masa.
Yeah.
And then it comes out looking like, you know,
a blimp.
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you got great places. So everyone's got a connection, right? It's like a drug dealer. We always got a good person to make who makes our tamales.
Right.
So that's a great thing. Of course, El Charo is an amazing. She makes great tamales. And then, of course, we have this thing called Tucson Tamales Company, where he's all over the place, Todd.
They're tearing it up, right?
They are tearing
that's
it up.
That's awesome.
And the last time I talked to Todd, we had lunch a few months ago, and he was, I think they're doing the test run with Walmart now.
Right.
So, so they're
incredible.
Doing Western region of Walmart. So I think it's maybe everything kind of maybe Colorado to the Pacific, that western part of the United States. And then Walmart gives you a couple of other test markets in the East.
Right, just to see how it goes.
Right, North Carolina
that makes
and something
sense.
Else. So again, one of Tucson's greatest business successes.
What a success story.
That's absolutely under-celebrated because it's a white guy named Todd Martin making tamales.
Yeah. Mm.
And you know, you never hear the mayor talk about, geez, it's unbelievable that we have a guy, a family here. It's Tim and his wife, right?
Yeah.
Who make tamales, and now they're going to be in Walmarts across the country.
Nope.
Just never celebrated. So anyway, two great things. Just want to talk a little tamales during Food Friday. So when we come back, we're going, let's do it now. Cowboy Dave on Robin Hood before we get to, because Robin Hood didn't happen in Mexico. So Cowboy Dave, you're on with Chris and Mark. What's up, bud?
Hey, good morning. Hey, Maid Marian, when they were riding in the Sherwood Forest, she was riding Trigger, Roy Rogers' horse.
Oh, get out of here.
Roy Rogers bought Trigger.
But what?
Yeah, that was a horse she was riding, And he made his basically a screen debut. And then, but that was a good horse, outstanding horse, Trigger.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
I'm reading it right now. Trigger, a Golden Palomino, made its movie debut as Olivia de Havilland's mount in 1938, The Adventures of Robin Hood. Later that year, Rogers picked the horse out of several potential steeds for his first lead film role. Cowboy Dave, what was the first lead film role for Roy Rogers?
Oh, man, I couldn't.
I know Bunker's yelling at his radio right now. It was called Under Western Skies.
Under Western Skies, yeah. But I call you back in a few minutes about some. There's a whole bunch of movies that were filmed down in Mexico.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you in a bit, Cowboy Dave.
Okay. God bless.
You too. 7:17 in the morning, Mark Van Buren, Christopher DeSimone, top 10 movies that take place in Mexico. Now, does it have to... Can part of the movie take place in Mexico?
Yes, I got a couple of those. But
there's a couple I'm thinking that have that aspect.
And there's
it.
A couple of Westerns in there, too.
Is there an old guy named Walter Houston dancing on the side of a mountain in any of these?
Possibly.
Yes! 7:18 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk.
Santa Claus!
There he is. Louis. Sergio is a vote for no olives in the tamales. Tia Gloria says, please don't say you'll throw their cookies out. It sounds mean. You will ask them to take them home. Okay.
Have you met Chris?
She's right.
She is.
John Holden, please send real tamales to Hicksboro, Tennessee.
Oh, my God. So, talking about food, though, I did want to mention that I made that scallop pineapple.
Oh, yeah. And, so, you and Matthew made it.
Yeah, it was very good. I looked at all the reviews, and everybody said cut down on the sugar, so it called for 2 cups of sugar, and I only put one in, and I think it came out really good. And my wife and daughter loved it. So,
thank you, Ann.
Yeah, it was very good. Thank you.
And, again... Two cups of sugar in that is off the charts.
Can't we be?
But even Ann said when I was reading the recipe on air, she's like, "Yeah, don't do two cups."
If I remember correctly, she said 5/8. Okay.
No, but the recipe that I looked up, it basically called for 2 cups.
Yep.
Yeah. And everybody that had made it said, oh no, cut it back.
The recipe that I saw said 1 1/4, I think, which I cut down to 3/4. And I think there was room to cut more out.
Yeah.
And yes, Home of Champions, 5/8 is an actual number. I know it sounds imaginary. I know math
not
is hard.
Not usually what you see in recipes, but
just saying for the Home of Champions out there, 5/8 is not a fictional number. So it's a real. So
well, we're watching the baking show. You know, we just
Great British.
Yeah, we just finished up the last episode last night.
Oh, and, about 2 or 3.
You know, and you get kind of messed up because they're talking metrics all the time. You know, everything from temperature to the oven to because it's centigrade and then millimeters. You know, for length
and
of
convection
things.
Ovens are very more prevalent there because
I
always hear my girl Mary Berry go, put it in at 160 fan. You know, they always say 160 fan. For the convection oven. So, all right, let's get going on some Mexico movies that took place in Mexico.
Absolutely. Well, this is the first one takes place in both sides of the border, but it stars Charlton Heston and Orson Welles.
Oh.
And it's called The Touch of Evil, done in 1958. And isn't it amazing that here we are in 2022 and we're dealing with the same kind of circumstances where, you know, drugs... And coming across the Mexican border, and here we are, you know, 1958 to 2022. It's the same thing. But it's very well done. It was critically acclaimed. Orson Welles is just fantastic in it. And, you know, it's a shame that he didn't do more in Hollywood because he got kind of got blackballed a little bit. But he was just fantastic. And Charlton Heston, Orson Welles plays the cop a corrupt cop.
Hank Quinlan.
Yeah, and it's good. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, just outstanding film. And it won 2 prizes at the 1958 Brussels Word Film Festival, which was a surprise to Welles because he didn't think it was that good, but it was.
It's got... Janet Leigh is in it.
Yep.
It's got, let's see, Zsa Zsa Gabor as the strip club owner.
There, how about that?
Who knew?
You know what, though?
Friar Tuck.
I don't know if you know this about Zsa Zsa, but she always wore long gowns or pantsuits. The legs.
Mm-mm. She wasn't proud of her legs?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take a call before we go to break. You can go over 8 o'clock, right?
You're yeah, okay? Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
790-2040. Let's go to Windows Chris. What's up, buddy? Windows XP, Matt has on the on the board.
Good,
Windows XP, what's up?
Morning.
Good morning. Charlton Heston, what a great actor.
He certainly was.
Chuck, though. That's Chuck Heston.
Thank you.
He was in that ant movie.
Chaz.
He was in that movie. About the ants attacking down in South America. He stars in that movie.
I know.
Naked Jungle. Or yeah. Well, anyway, I got a movie.
You love your ant movie.
You got a movie. Let's hear it.
I got a movie for you.
All right.
Filmed entirely in Mexico.
Okay.
Got ripped off by a major, just a huge director. Totally ripped it off. The movie is Shark. Did
Shark?
You get that?
Shark?
The Shark. Movie? Shark. You say it like that, Chris.
Got
an exclamation point at the end of it.
And who? And,
Shark! And
don't take this the wrong way. Who's in this piece of trash?
It's total trash. I saw this at the movie theater in 1974, Chris. I was going on 10. And I saw it. It actually scared me. It's called Shark, and it stars the one and only Burt Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
That's
Wait,
amazing.
Not
Shark,
what?
Not
Sharky's Machine.
Not Shark.
No, I got to tell you, I was going to do Burt Reynolds movies one time, and I started researching it, and I couldn't come up with 10 movies that were really good. I couldn't.
Okay, now this movie has chops. It's not a it's cheap, but it has it. Trust me. Don't judge a book by its cover. Number one, it's based on the novel. Let me get this right, because Chris, I just called in. I haven't even listened to
All
you.
Right.
I'm
so his Bones Are Coral by Victor Canning is
exactly,
the book.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Now get this. Stuntman died on the set from shark attack.
Wow.
Look it up.
Is this supposed to, I mean, are you paralleling this with Jaws, or what are we talking about?
Yes, okay, yes. It totally right. gets credited with he had to have seen it.
Okay.
And the stuntman died, and the storyline is Burt Reynolds is a down-on-your-luck gun runner who I think his ship sinks, and he gets stuck in Mexico, and he has to earn money to get out of it.
So
he takes a job as a diver for some guy, and then he fights a shark.
His name is Kane. He's a gun runner, becomes stranded in a small port on the Red Sea. There he meets an attractive woman, Anna, who propositions him to dive in the shark-infested waters off the coast. Holy crap.
What a great. What, Chris, you'll probably be watching this tonight.
I'm not going to go to the party. I'm going to watch Shark!
With exclamation point.
Yeah,
yes.
Shark! But anyway, can I do a plug?
You got 10 seconds.
Okay, new client, 5th in Congress, Southeast Corner, proper shops. We're talking some really nice stuff in there. Eclectic.
Yoo-hoo! We're doing a Jazzy Christmas Friday, the day of the 77th annual Wake Up Christmas Party. And you're like, well, you've only been on the show for 13 years.
Yeah, but you've had a lot of parties.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't question the great Bruce Dickinson, as we like to say. We're hanging.
He wants more cowbell.
We're hanging out with the great Mark Van Buren. We're doing top 10 movies that might have took place in Mexico.
I'm still back on that Charlton Heston one. They say, these tamales are people.
Oh, my Lord.
Ooh.
He's got to get, I'm telling you, he's punchy today.
You think so?
I told him earlier that he's in need for a big nap
before
the party.
It's when you brought up that tuck thing, he just goes crazy.
Right. So what I'm worried about him, is he's going to get up on the second level of Que Bonita and do that thing from Almost Famous, I Am a Golden God, and do the dive. That's what I'm worried. Right into the Christmas tree. I'm a little worried.
You said the booze was going to be upstairs. So.
Or Scream Cornholio. I'm sure which one that is. So, all right, what's our next movie?
Comes the letter.
Number 9, Sicario.
Oh,
2015, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's Emily Blunt and Benicio del Toro.
Sure.
And really well done. They play a couple of FBI agents that are trying to take out a Mexican cartel leader. You know, pretty typical thing, subject matter when you're dealing with Mexico and cops. So, but it's very, very well done. And Emily Blunt just puts in a killer performance here.
Absolutely. You got Josh Brolin, Benicio, John Bernthal. He's the guy who played Punisher in the Netflix series.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Daniel Kaluuya. Who is the other one I was looking for? Yeah, this is a great pick.
Yep.
This is a great pick.
It's well done. I saw it in the movies and really, really loved it. So
violent flick, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 You got to be ready for that.
Yeah, don't... A little warning. This is not your date night or a family video night with the kids. You're going to watch Sicario. Hey, kids, let's watch Sicario. So what's your next one?
Next one up is Frida, Selma Hayek, done in 2002, and it was 85% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's the story of a surrealistic painter, Frida Kahlo.
Yep.
It's her biography, and it's really well done. And she overcomes. She has a very troubled marriage. And she has an accident on a bus where she's somewhat debilitating, but she plows through it all and is a heck of a painter. So it's a very well done flick.
Pretty interesting cast here, right? So Salma Hayek is Frida. Alfred Molina, who I really do like, is Diego Rivera.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jeffrey Rush plays Leon Trotsky.
There you go.
Got that.
How about that?
Got that going for us.
You throw in a little possible communism.
Antonio Banderas as David Alfaro Siqueiros. And then Ashley Judd's in this.
Yep.
And then Diego Luna, who no one knew was who he was in 2002. That's the guy who played Andor in the Rogue One movie and Andor TV series, which I do highly recommend. It's some of the more high-quality streaming Disney content, and he's really good at it, Diego Luna. So,
yeah, indeed. Yeah.
What's your next one, bud?
Next one up at number 7 is Traffic, done in 2000.
Sure.
92% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's stories within a story. It's basically three stories, but all come into the same point. And it's the story of a conservative judge who appoints this president to escalating to stop the drug cartels, and his daughter gets involved with crack, and it's just it's a really graphic story, but a very well done one at the same time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And again, Traffic, and that was how many Oscars did that win? That was why do I feel like that was a multiple? Maybe an Oscar.
Best won Academy Awards for Best Director, Supporting Actor, and Film Editing, yeah. And Adapted Screenplay. So yeah, four of them.
Yeah, that was. I remember when that first. It wasn't a movie I watched until after it started winning Oscars, kind
right.
of thing.
Absolutely.
790-20-funny. Jeez.
20 funny.
I need to
take a nap. And I'm Bunchy.
You know.
D-Train needs to take a nap.
Talk about having a... You were talking about the mayor's speech yesterday and having a drink. I think you might have hit it early.
I'm going to hit it. I think Matt said it right. Can you spell sobriety? let's go to Bunker. Bunker, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Buenos dias, hombres. What a grand and glorious subject you have chosen.
I thought of you when I came right up now. With this, and I know you're going to hit all the rest of them, so go ahead.
Well, no, because I want to start out with a movie, and this one is especially for Chris.
Yep.
It's called For Greater Glory, the true story of the Cristiada. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That had to do with a revolution that took place from 1926 to 29.
Huh.
And it was a little known revolution, but it was based upon religious freedom. And the Cristiados were Catholics that were being persecuted
right.
by the government. And it is just, it's a fantastic movie done in 2012. And it had, who did it have here? Oh, Andy Garcia, Oscar Isaacs, Catalina Sandero, Marino, Eva Longoria, Peter O'Toole, and it's on and on. But I highly recommend this because it's well filmed. And on top of being in Mexico, it was made by Mexico.
Nice. Love it. Good. Yeah. What was the name of that, sir, one more time?
It was For Greater Glory.
Gotcha.
Greater Glory, the true story of Cristiadas.
Nice.
And my follow-up is on the same line, The Fugitive, 1947, John Ford with Henry Fonda, Dolores Del Rio, Pedro Armendariz, J. Carroll Nash, Leo Carrillo, Ward Bond. And it is a really brooding, deep into a fond of being a priest who has kind of lost his religion, but is being persecuted and being hunted. And it's very taunt. I think you'll love it if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
John Ford.
Okay.
And then I'll finish up with my personal favorite, which is The Wonderful Country. Robert Mitchum and Leroy Satchel Page is the sergeant.
Wow.
And Pedro Armendariz again, Jack Oakey, Albert Dekker, directed by Robert Parrish. And it's just based on a Tom Lee novel. It is just a wonderful, beautiful, and it's not about the great grandes of Mexico. It's about this pistolero, American pistolero, who has been raised by a Mexican family down there, big, powerful family, and how, being a gringo, he's still a gringo and is betrayed.
Wow. I definitely have to check that one out. I'm a big Robert Mitchum fan. I've never seen that
one. The Wonderful Country. What a cast here. So think about this. Robert Mitchum.
Yeah.
Julie London, right? Satchel Paige as a sergeant, right, as he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the character Ben Sterner, the great John Banner, Sergeant Schultz.
There you go.
Look at that. Mm-hmm.
And I'll just throw three more at you, just to confound
this,
Mark.
This, yeah, he's going to here. He's going to kill me right here. Go.
And Veracruz. There you go.
This thing made $1 million in 1959.
Isn't that something? That's really something.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
good call.
Good job, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Great show.
Thank you so much.
Adios, amigos.
Hey,
right into the glorious sunset.
Next week, give us a call. We'll talk about Empire Ranch Christmas. All right.
Okie dokie. You got her.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. You too. Have a wonderful weekend and have a great party.
Thank you, my friend. Let's do one more, Mark, and yep, then we'll go to break.
I'm surprised he didn't mention this one, but at number six, The Wild Bunch, done in 1969, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. Listen to this cast. William Holden, Ernest Borgnine, Warren Oates. And Warren Oates is really good in this.
Yep.
Ben Johnson and Jamie Sanchez. And Robert Ryan plays a corrupt Mexican general. It's a story of these four guys that are outlaws, and Robert Ryan is chasing them. And it got somewhat criticized by Hollywood because the last scene where they take on pretty much the whole Mexican army, I watched it last night, is pretty violent.
So, sure.
But there's this scene with this Gatling gun. They get a hold of this Gatling gun, and they're taking down Mexican army men that are coming after them. And it's an amazing scene. It really is. It reminded me of the old French Foreign Legion films where you see that one guy left behind who's wounded, and he's got the gun, and the thousands of troops are coming his way. That's what it reminded me
classic,
of.
Classic trope, right?
Yeah.
That last guy.
Yeah.
Doing all that.
Yeah.
So again, Peckinpah movie.
Yep.
Right. And this really was, I think this is his magnus opus, right? Would be Wild Bunch.
I think so. Absolutely.
And again, it was, there was that thing in the 60s, right? This is 69, right?
69, right.
Where we had these ensemble casts started becoming more and more popular in relation to movies.
And
right?
What was important is you have to have an ensemble cast with a good movie. I think there was a lot of those movies done in the 70s, like Towering Inferno and Poseidon Adventure and those things. They were terrible movies, but they had like these all-star casts.
Yeah, I guess my thing with the ensemble thing, I'm thinking like Guns of Navarone.
Oh, yeah.
Dirty
sure.
Dozen.
Yeah, see, those were classic movies.
But that group of guys, yes, and or girls doing, yep, something.
Agreed.
Kind of thing.
Agreed.
And I feel like this was the ultimate violent version of that. Yeah. By Peckinpah. And, no, you know, in 1969, now, if you watch it now, I watched it maybe a year ago.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And because of all the death and carnage in it, right?
Yeah.
Even here in 2022, I was kind of like a little, wow.
Yeah.
Imagine 1969.
Oh, that's why I say they got lampooned pretty good. They really did, even though it got nominated for Best Screenplay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
All right, let's go to break. 7:45 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Cowboy Dave, hold on. He's got more movies for us.
Okay.
We're not sending Mark away too fast, so.
Yeah, we got five more.
Yeah, so we'll take your call. 790-2040 is the phone number. Little Knoxville Jazz Orchestra. I found these guys probably a few years ago, but they're my Yuletide jazz
playlist. Did Joe call in with this one? Or?
He did. This, okay, is right. Him and his wife renewed their vows to the song. It's beautiful.
John Holden, possibly.
That's true. Knoxville's kind of not close to where, you know, Hicksboro is. That's why it's Hicksboro. It's away from anything. No tamales, no nothing. Wake up. Don't get me wrong. I love my Vince Guaraldi, but this is a nice take by the Eric Bird Trio.
Not too shabby.
Absolutely. This is the one me and Higgins, when we have coffee together, this is the one he always asks
but
for.
But doesn't it, like the piano playing, you could just see the snow falling?
That's what's so beautiful about the arrangement and the playing of that by the Guaraldi in the first part, right? It's, these people are smart.
I know.
They're smart. Let's go to the phone, 790-2040. Let's go to Cowboy Dave. Dave, what you got for us?
Amigo, professionals.
Okay.
With Burt Lancaster, Lee Marvin. Woody Strobe, black guy, and what a movie. Jack Palance.
Jack Palance plays, this is the first movie I ever saw that Jack Palance was the rat, and I got hooked on him. And he was so good. He was so good as the evil or the antagonist in any movie he ever was in. He's fantastic. This is a great, great flick.
Yeah, outstanding. Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Yep.
Clint Eastwood and Shirley MacLaine.
Uh-huh. Is that on your list?
No.
Okay.
He plays a gringo going down south to the border. Shirley MacLaine is a nun, but she's not really a nun. And at the end of the movie, you find out what she really is. And then Pancho Villa as himself with Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, I looked at that. It's a really, really good movie. It was real close to being on the list, but it's a great flick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I tell you what, you will like The Greater Glory, that one that Bunker put out.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to check that
Peter
out.
O'Toole, yep. Peter O'Toole plays a priest, and that's probably one of his last movies before he actually passed away. But, then Eva Longoria plays the wife of Andy Garcia, and they bring him out of retirement, and actually they're losing the revolution, and then Andy Garcia comes aboard. He takes over in charge of all the revolutionaries, and they're actually winning. And then, but that's, you know, that's something like that to happen. 1923, they're killing Catholics, hanging them, shooting them, firing squad. Unbelievable.
Really?
And we never heard about this. And even when you talk to the local Mexicans here in town, they don't even know what happened. You know, I tell you what, Chris, it's appalling because, you know, they want to change our history and take down statues and everything. And then here are the local Mexican. If you ask Regina Romero what happened, and she wouldn't even know. And here we got a statue of Ponce Villa in our downtown.
Isn't that something? It's crazy. All right. Cowboy Dave, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Yep. So this Greater Glory movie, we'll get back to this a little bit.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia, Oscar Isaac, right? Then we have, who else did I do? Ruben Blades, Peter O'Toole. Eva Longoria, I got to give this a shot.
It's a good cast. I'm definitely going to check this out.
I got to give this a shot. 790-2040. Rick, you're on with Chris and Mark Van Buren. What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark, this probably isn't on your list, but A Night in Old Mexico with Bobby Duvall.
No, I didn't. A Night in Old Mexico.
Yeah, with Bobby Duvall. He's a modern-day ranger, and they're confiscating his property and trying to get him to move to a mobile home park. In the meantime, his grandson, who he never met, comes out from back east to get acquainted with him. They finally get him off his property. He pulls up to the mobile home park, and he looks at it for a while. He says, there's no way I'm living in this damn tin can. And he pours his Cadillac and heads for Old Mexico, and that's when the fun begins.
I love it. I love it. Bobby Duvall is one heck of an actor, too.
Yeah, if you like him in Old Lonesome Dove, you like him in this one. Oh. So you guys have a great day.
It's super. Thank you for the suggestion.
Rick, great suggestion. Yep. I was just looking for Greater Glory if it's streaming right now, and it is streaming as part of an Amazon Prime subscription.
Good, I have that.
Look at that.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the phone, 790-2040. Al, what's shaking, bud?
Okay, I just want to stir the pot.
Okay.
Elvis, Acapulco.
Sure, that's not stirring the pot.
No, that's fine. That's legit.
Because, you know, Westerns, we live in the West, so we know all about the Westerns that happen in Mexico. All we got to do is look to the South.
Now, is there any reason you like that movie, or is it just like every other Elvis movie, just kind of fun and have a nice day?
It's just, just because it's the same old Elvis movie, that it doesn't matter what the name is. The man sings, it takes the girl goes away, he's back again, he sings.
That's it.
You know, it's Elvis.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
The king. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
And you guys have a great day.
All right, you do the same.
And I'll probably see you this evening.
All right, beautiful. Very good.
Awesome. Later, Al.
Later.
I forgot that the female lead in Fun in Acapulco is Ursula Andress.
Whoa.
So I did not.
That's not all bad.
I did not know
Sean
that.
Sean Connery and Elvis.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Tell me, what's your next one?
Next one, had to put this one in there, and I'm surprised these Western guys didn't talk about it. A Fistful of Dollars, done in 1964, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's the first of the trilogy of the spaghetti Westerns done by Clint Eastwood. And I was watching a little bit of it last night, and I love the scene where he's upset with these guys because they shot at his mule when he was riding in, right? So he goes to them.
One of the best scenes ever.
He goes to them, and he said, I want you to apologize to my mule, and they're all laughing at him and everything. And before he does this, he goes by the coffin maker and he goes, get three ready. And so he goes and he tells these guys, you got to apologize to my mule. And they all start laughing. He goes, my mule doesn't like that you're laughing at him. Right? So then he pulls his serape over his shoulder and he exposes his gun. And then they draw on him and he takes four of them out. And then he's walking back and he goes by the coffin maker and he says, oh, my mistake. You need another one.
So, and that scene as a kid is one of the early ones because my dad loves Clint Eastwood.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that scene is one of the early ones I remember. I was watching an interview with Clint, and I think it was like an old Letterman from like the 80s or something,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about making these films.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in Italy, right? And, you know, the Leone is doing this kind of different way of making a Western.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But he said it was a very international cast. And he says what was really funny is people were speaking. We had Germans,
mm-hmm.
Italians,
right.
Americans,
right?
You know, and then they figured it out on the back end of the dubbing,
yeah,
of the voices and stuff.
Because right.
if you look at it, right, so it's Clint Eastwood as Joe, Gian Maria Volante, right?
Yeah.
But then I have Marion Koch, Wolfgang Lutschke,
yeah,
Sigurd Rupp. Right? Then there's Antonio Prieta, Jose Calvo, Margarita Lozano. It's just so interesting.
You're right. It's a very interesting cast.
So what's your next one, bud?
Next one up is Coco. I had to put this one in. I saw it a couple of years ago.
Coco's on my list.
And I just think it's outstanding. And I have to tell you, I think one of the most difficult things to probably explain to children, especially when, you know, a grandparent dies or something along those lines, is to explain death to them and what that really means.
Yeah.
Because the concept's pretty difficult, and I think adults have a difficult time explaining it. Well, this movie is about a 12-year-old boy who ventures into the land of the dead, right? And I think it explains death in such a wonderful way. So a child can understand it. And I found walking out of the movie, I said, you know, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen as far as animated and being able to explain death.
Yeah, it's, you know, Pixar movie.
Yep.
Looks beautiful. And so the Day of the Dead traditions,
yes,
have become more and more popular, right?
Yep.
I mean, they have Day of the Dead stuff in Target, you know,
sure,
in September and October, right? And so I think the Pixar kids did a nice job explaining the tradition and the holiday of it.
I think
also,
so.
Right?
Yeah.
In relation to why it's important for people who celebrate the Day of the Dead, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and of, you know, big pictures of what happens to souls and
yeah,
everything like that.
But I think it's done in such an interesting way and in a logical way where a child can really grasp that. You know,
sure.
You know, I loved it. I thought it was a great film.
All right, we're going to go to, we got top of the hour news. How many more you got?
We got three to go.
And I have two other honorable mentions that
okay.
we haven't covered yet.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll take your phone calls, 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson. After Mark, I may torch you with the rest of Regina Romero's State of the City.
Oof.
And so we got to go back to our liquor cabinets again.
Well, I tried to give you a little respite anyway.
Get a bottle of Pinch.
Yep.
And we'll go from there. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10th through the Voice, local news and talk. Let's see. It's 8. We're getting there. We're getting to a Christmas party before it's all over. Look at poor Matt. Hashtag pray for Matt. Wake up Tucson, 10th of the voice, local news and talk.